This is EAA Radio, and I'm Digital Dave, and on the phone with me is Mr. Lance Geiger. I believe that's the correct pronunciation, is it not?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, otherwise known as the History Guy. Now, Lance, you've got a YouTube channel where you do all sorts of, as you put it, incidents that deserve to be remembered, and I think that's really cool. How did you come up with this idea and get started?
I've always loved history. And I've always loved telling stories about history. I would amuse my kids and friends and coworkers, but I wasn't doing history. I taught at a university. I worked in the corporate world for a long time, and people would always say, "You know, you should do that for a living." I could never figure out how. So a couple of years ago, I got laid off. My whole division was laid off from a company I was working with, but I had a pretty good package. I mean, not a golden parachute, but maybe what you call like a bronze parachute, enough to. Get me through about a year to build the YouTube channel and the way to figure out how to do this for a living. And so now I get to tell the stories I've always loved to tell, learn quite a lot, and tell those stories to other people. And that's the channel we call History Guy.
Well, you can tell just by watching one or two of them that you're very, very passionate about history. And you do an incredible amount of research on each story. I mean, the side facts that you bring in to fill out the picture are very complete and amazing.
Well, thank you. That's the fun part. I learned every episode. I learned an awful lot.
Let's get right to it. What do we got today?
Well, I think we wanted to talk about a particular incident that's one of the more exciting crash landings in history, and not one that's as well known because it wasn't a commercial airliner. It was, but it was a charter plane. So the smaller planes, the stories regarding smaller planes are less likely to make the news, and you're less likely to hear about them. But sometimes they're quite spectacular, and sometimes they're important to the industry. And this was a really, really interesting one in 1993, where it was a Piper Navajo, which was a very popular design in the 60s into the 70s. Was used quite a lot for things like charter flights. But there was a construction flaw that had been identified, but the way that the FAA had put out regulations hadn't necessarily made the changes that needed to be made. So this plane kind of came apart in midair, and the pilot, in just an extraordinary act of piloting, managed to get this plane down in one piece without losing any of his passengers. It's a really exciting story.
This is the one where I understand he heard a bang and then the airplane just didn't fly very well and all sorts of issues, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a Piper. It was a PA-31-325CR, which means it was the model with a 325 engine where they counter-rotate it. So the two propellers are going different directions. But yeah, he's flying. He's getting very close to where he's going to land. He's in England. He's headed for Norwich. He was flying from Birmingham to Norwich. And he's getting very close to the approach. When he suddenly hears a noise, and all of a sudden the plane has lost power, is in a desperate spin, and nothing is reacting like it's supposed to be reacting. And that would be awfully shocking to any pilot.
That would be eyeballs against the windshield.
It's kind of lose everything at once. And one of the strange things about it is when you have a small plane, when you have two engines, usually you only lose one engine, and that gives you some ability to control the plane with the other engine. So the idea that you would lose both engines at the same time was really what was stunning in this one.
Okay, and then he obviously managed to somehow get control of it again?
He did. What happened was there was a flaw in the propeller hub. It actually was a design flaw that had been identified by the FAA, and they had put out some advice on it in terms of inspecting. But the manufacturer had strongly recommended that they replace the propeller hub, and the FAA didn't make that clear. So this particular one was actually was rented. The charter company had a couple of planes; they were otherwise engaged, so they were renting this from another company. It had all its inspections; it was properly inspected. There was no gap there, but they didn't. They hadn't gotten that message that they shouldn't just inspect this propeller hub; they should have replaced it. So as he's flying along, the propeller hub. The propeller hub came apart, and one of the blades came loose. So for that engine, that means, of course, you've got asymmetrical front. You can't fly the propeller with one of the blades missing.
Right, it's way out of balance. The propeller ends up being way out of balance.
Yeah, so much so that tore the engine off the plane.
The
engine came off. So that, of course, significantly changes your center of gravity. It's been all by itself. So that would be shocking enough, but that blade that came loose happened to come off at a trajectory. It flew right through the nose of the plane, which is on the Piper Navajo with the luggage compartment. and then struck the propeller hub on the other side, struck the nose cone, and the nose cone flew through the blades and, of course, disabled that engine.
Wow.
So in one instant, the one engine comes off the plane and happens to shoot a projectile through to knock the other engine out. And so he was in, the spin was largely because of the asymmetric, or because of the loss of balance, because you lost so much weight where the engine came off.
Right.
But it's hard to correct a spin when you've got no power because you've lost both engines.
Right. Wow. That's definitely a brown seat moment.
It was. And it was, the plane was full. I mean, he had, it was a charter flight, but it was full of passengers to the point where he had a passenger sitting next to him. And he had given them the instructions on what to do in case of an emergency landing, which most of the time we ignore those. But this is one of those times where I'm sure they were quite glad to have gotten the instructions before they got on the plane. Only an hour, like about an hour long flight, and this happens to him. Yeah.
Wow. And he successfully landed the thing on its belly.
He did. He was an experienced pilot. He'd been in the British, in the RAF, and so he was a very experienced pilot. He was experienced on the Navajo, though he hadn't flown this particular aircraft before. So when they took off, he was feeling vibration in the handle, and he knew in the stick. But it went away quickly. But he suspected something was wrong. But he wouldn't have known that the propeller hub was coming apart.
Right.
So he did. He did what they they always say: first fly the plane. So what he figured out first was that if he cranked the rudder all the way over, he could control the spin. But the problem was, without power, he had to be diving a little faster than he wanted to be able to get enough wind across the rudder to control the spin. So now he's going down. He can't really slow up going down. He's lost most of his control. Like, he lost flaps because the little electric gizmo that controlled the flaps happened to be in the nose of the plane, so that went out with everything else. So he doesn't have flaps. The landing gear, he could crank down if he had a place to land, but he would have to try to take his hand off the stick to manually crank down the landing gear. So he's got no gear. He's got no flaps. He's coming down faster than he wants to. The nearby RAF base was trying to give him directions to a runway, but there was no way he was going to be able to go anywhere to a runway. So he just looks over and sees the field and aims for that.
Yeah, that's what they teach you to do. Try and find a soft spot.
Find the softest spot you can go. So it's amazing that he was able to get control of the plane. It was amazing that he was able to keep control of the plane. Coming in much faster than you'd want to come into with little landing control. He narrowly missed. There were electricity wires on the end of course, going across the line across where the field was. And he just skipped over the top of those and then took it down as flat as he could and did a great job. It would have been really kind of the perfect crash landing. Of course, any crash landing you walk away from is perfect. Would have been the perfect crash landing, except that as it slowed down, it started to spin a little bit more. One of the wings dropped, and it threw the plane sideways. So they not only crashed, but then they slid sideways through this field for about 100 yards, which I imagine was rather exciting for the passengers.
Yeah, especially for the passengers. And they're thinking, wow, I don't see a gate anywhere.
I don't see this. It doesn't look like the runway to me, and we usually land going that direction.
Oh, I imagine they were just so happy they got out and kissed the ground.
Absolutely, yeah. He had them get out very quickly because you're afraid of fire at that point.
Yep.
So they're all, abandoning the plane, and they follow the crash procedures, which they got before the flight. But it turned out that the plane was still in good enough shape that he got back in and was able to radio their location so that they could send assistance.
Well, that's really cool. History is full of stuff like this, isn't it?
It is. And, I'm sure this thing, anybody who's a small pilot, or at least quite a few who are small pilots, has exciting stories at some point. There are more stories than this, but they're the sort of stories that don't necessarily make the news nearly as much as if it's a commercial airliner.
Right.
But this one is really a spectacular. I mean, to land the plane when you not only lost power in both engines, but you literally had one of the engines come loose, was extraordinary. And part of the exciting part of this story too was the investigation afterwards to figure out what happened and how it happened. And then that taught them a lot about how to promulgate regulations. Of course, you've got both the United States and the UK involved. The plane, since the Piper was built in the United States, much of the safety stuff was done by the FAA. And that's where they had a couple of gaps that could have prevented this accident. One of them being they hadn't made it clear that the manufacturer had said we should replace that hub, not just inspect that hub. But the other thing was that they had get sent through this message that if you feel vibrations in the stick, that could be a sign that your propeller hub's impending failure. But that was sent to mechanics. It was not sent to pilots.
Right.
And so the pilot wouldn't have known when he felt that first vibration, would have known what that really meant to the plane. And, of course, as a pilot, you're always concerned if you feel anything weird. But it went away quickly enough that he said, well, that's something I'll just tell maintenance when we land. And
exactly.
Didn't realize he'd be landing in a field.
Well, he had a lot more to tell maintenance. The first, they had to go find the other engine.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they had to go. And that was, in the investigation, it's in the location of where the different bits landed is really what allowed them to piece together the accident. Though the big hole right through the nose of the plane made it pretty clear what happened.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
But they could tell from where pieces, because you had the first engine, and then you have the missing piece of the propeller. You have the propeller hub. You have the luggage. And those all landed in different places, and that really helped them figure out the timeline of the accident and figure out this crazy event that happened. And of course, what are the odds that even if your propeller comes apart, what are the odds that the blade's going to fly in exactly the direction to knock out the other engine?
Exactly. I mean, I just think the plane didn't like him.
Yeah. Well, it liked him enough to get him to the ground. And
that's true.
It did hold together, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank you very much, Lance, and people can find you on YouTube at The History Guy, correct?
At The History Guy, yeah. History Guy on YouTube. And happy to see you there. We don't just do aviation history, but we do a lot of aviation history. If that's your thing, you'll find an awful lot of different episodes about different aviation challenges and the aviation pioneers and the accidents like this one that really deserve to be remembered.
That's very cool. And I will be talking to you again. All right. Thank you very much, Lance. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.